Zechariah chapter 6. So good to be here tonight. We're thankful for the God of heaven that allows us to do this.
Amen.
Zechariah chapter 6, and I'd like to read verses 11 through 15 tonight. Excuse me, 11 through 13. And we spent a little time on verse 12, but we're going to look at some more of it. There's a little more meat on this bone. Verse 11, then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Joshadak, the high priest. And it's a beautiful picture here of a priest that is also crowned as king, and there's only one that truly meets that criteria, the God-man, the Lord Jesus. And then it says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, behold a man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Last week we looked at verse 12 much of the time, and that is called a branch, and we saw that there are three Old Testament books that speak of the Lord Jesus in prophecy, foretelling of the truth of Jesus Christ coming and pictured as a branch, spoken of as a branch. Now, that very rough outline, someone's coming. Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Zechariah spoke the same thing as all of the other prophets and Old Testament books, someone is coming. And they share with us some identifying marks about this one that is to come. And he shall be called the branch, as it's brought out here. This term, the branch, was called by these three prophets. And it's a wonderful statement about the reality of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he, as a branch, would grow up out of dry ground. That he would be alone. He would have a position in this world that would be like no other person that has ever walked the face of the earth. We have people called, as David was, a man after my own heart. We have a person called my friend by the Lord. But nobody has ever been called the God-man or Emmanuel as this one, the Lord Jesus. Now, in the book of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, there is the subject that is brought up about a plant of renown. Now, we were dealing with that just a little bit as we look at this plant of renown, this branch. And it's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 29. Chapter 34 and verse 29, we have the Lord call a plant of renown. I will raise up for them a plant of renown. Now, he's a branch. Just like we find over here in the book of Zechariah, just like we find in the book of Jeremiah, just like we find in the book of Isaiah. He is a branch, but this branch is a very special branch. This branch is called a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. So the Lord is going to deal with a lot of issues. Every issue that entered into this world by Adam's fall is going to be taken care of by the person Christ Jesus. So everything we need, every demand that God has imposed upon us, God is going to fulfill in the person Christ Jesus. He's going to give us everything that we need. There's nothing we can earn. There's nothing we can buy. There's nothing we can do that will make us pleased in the eyes of God. But Jesus Christ, the branch, the plant of renown, is going to take care of all of that. Every bit of the fruit that he will have in himself will be given to the church and make them acceptable in the eyes of the Father. Now, this plant of renown, we looked just a little bit that this renown means to be high and elevated. It's And we're going to look at some of the places in the Scripture. We looked at some of them last week, and forgive me for repeating myself, but I just got in my study today and I said, this is worth going over one more time. This is worth plowing one more time. And that is that this plant of renown is a very special person, and we have that the very term renown speaks of the Lord Jesus. He is. It means to be high, to be elevated, to be eminent, to standing out, raised up, a title of distinction. Now, we're going to find out throughout human history, from the very beginning, from Adam down to today, from Adam's fall down to today, that there are people, you and I, by nature, that think we are more important than we really are. That we look at ourselves as renowned, as distinctive, as lofty, as high lifted up, as elevated, as a we're pretty special people. And we find that brought out distinctly in the book of Genesis when after the flood, and you think people would learn something by the flood. There might be 500 years, there might be 1,000 years, but you'd think that the people were teaching their children about what just happened at the flood. They probably were, but you know what? Unless it's effectually given to us, we'll say, I don't care. It's not going to apply to me. It will only apply to someone else. Well, over there in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, in Genesis chapter 11, it tells us that everybody spoke the same language. You know, every religion around the world, it doesn't matter where it was created, where it come from, what they believe. There is one distinctive thing that every religion holds to, and that is we have a free will. And you know these folks here that were gathered around here, and I'm thankful that there were some folks over here out of the shadows, over here on the edge, that believe the gospel. Because they're the ones that continue to preach it and bring it down to our time. But there's a whole host of people that knew nothing about the gospel, even though the world had just gone through a catastrophic event. And the entire population, except for 8 people, was taken from this world. Their bodies are thrown all over. The bodies of animals are all over for a long time. And now we've got to this point in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. And I want to start reading with verse 1. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. And they use the same word in there when they start to build a city and a tower to heaven. Genesis chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. It says, and the whole earth was one language and one speech. No truer statement could be made. That is, in many respects, the same today. Now, we may speak a different language, different dialect. We may speak German. We may speak Latin. We may speak English. We may speak Czech. We may speak Romanian. We may speak all kinds, Japanese, Chinese, Filipino. It doesn't matter. But in the crux of everybody, in their own heart by nature, is this language that we're all together in this and that we all have a free will. These folks are practicing that very thing here. It says they all one language. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. We have a host of people that have been born after the flood. And they're speaking one language. Every one of them is related to Noah. Every one of them is related in some way to Noah's sons. They are children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren of Noah. And Noah had just gone through a catastrophic event, and we see the beautiful picture, the ark that sustained them. God put them in and shut the door. How beautiful is that picture? Now they're out, and it says, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now notice here in verse 4, and let us make us a name. Now that word name is the same word we find over there in Ezekiel for renown. Let us be renowned. Let us be a plant of renown. Let us exalt ourselves. You know, when it comes to grace, there is no pride. When it comes to works, there is so much pride. I'm so glad I'm doing a better job than other people. Now, I may not be doing the best job, but I'm doing a better job than other people. That's pride. That's a plant of renown. We're identifying ourselves that way. And it says there, who's taught may reach heaven, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, we know the results of this. We got Chinese, Japanese. We have Spanish. We have English. We have German. We have French. We have all the languages of the world that were created right here by an almighty God. And here is a group of people that are jabbering at each other. And you guess what? They found some people that understood what they were saying. And they talked. They got over here. And this group got over there. And before you know it, they are on different parts of the earth. In the days of the Peleg was the earth divided. And now we have France and Spain and Germany and all those places where these people are located. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't move around, but they carry their language with them. And like English, we're a blend of so many languages. But there's still one commonality among all people ever born on the face of this earth. And that is, I am a plant of renown by myself, and I'll do well. Now, thank God He intervenes in our life. Thank God He brings us the gospel. Thank God we are allowed to hear something that we will not hear under those circumstances. We'll hear nothing under those circumstances. And God moved upon them and separated them. Let us make a name. Let us have the preeminence. Let us be high and raised up. Let us remember. Let us be remembered as those who did this, who have a title of distinction. And man is always, always completed with the names that belong with God. I can go through this town and I can find names applied to God alone put before and after preachers' names. We have competed for the names that apply only to God. Humanity does that, wants to have that position that God holds. Now, this word, this one word, renown, is brought out many times in the book of the Psalms. And I just want to read a few of them because this plant of renown is holy. His name is holy. His name is righteous. So turn over to the book of the Psalms for just a moment. And we want to read a few of these verses of Scripture that share with us this plant of renown, this branch that Zechariah is writing about, this branch that Isaiah wrote about, this branch that Jeremiah wrote about. They were foreseeing. They were preaching the gospel of Christ Jesus the Lord before He came. They're declaring the gospel in this one person, that He is the branch and He is the plant of renown. And the psalmist brings out so often throughout the Psalms about what glory is given to the name. Now, just remember, as we come close to the end of this, we're going to hit a passage of Scripture. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He is the plant of renown. He is the branch. And though we may assume names in our nature that we think are blessings to God, His name only has these distinctive characteristics. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm 5, and there in verse 11. Psalm 5 and verse 11 says, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name. That's that word. Renown. Those that love Thy name. What does it say? Be joyful in Thee. Why? He's a Savior that saves. He's a Redeemer that redeems. He's someone that can take us out of the... Well, as He saves us out of the dung heap, was what a prophetess said one time. What a lady that was going to bear a child said one time. He raised us from the dung heap. Well, as the Psalms go on in chapter 7 and verse 17. Chapter 7 and verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. My goodness, He is altogether righteous. So our praise, the praise of His name, is going to be altogether because of His righteousness. There in Psalm 7 and verse 17, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So as those over there in the book of Genesis wanted to build a tower into heaven. Now, I remember the Sunday school literature that we used to get, and you know, that does a damage to our brain because we oh, that's what it was like. No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't way up. It was just something to study the stars, to make a name for themselves, to be exalted above all others. Here we are. I'm thankful we live, we're able to gather in an assembly place like this, but it's not gaudy. It was given to us by the Lord, but it's not gaudy. It isn't trying to reflect that we are so important we're going to have a glass palace. We're going to exalt ourselves by our building. This is just a place where we worship. What goes on here is to worship the God of all salvation. That's the important thing. So in chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. As this name is spoken of with regard to our Savior, with regard to the Lord, we have an exalted position given to Him, an exalted name given to Him, an exalted salvation given to Him. We have an exalted work of grace given to Him. He has the preeminence in all things. Then in that same chapter in verse 9, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Wherever we go, if we were permitted to go down to New Guinea and visit with believers, you know what? We would relish and delight in the name of our Lord. That's one thing that God does when He saves His people from their sins. We get to delight in the same Lord, the same God. We get to reflect on Him. He doesn't save people that worship this God and save these people that worship that God. He saves all His people to worship the God, the Lord Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to chapter 135, Psalm 135. 135, verse 1. Psalm 135 and verse 1, we have this renown, this word renown, the name. Oh, it's such an exalted name. It's such a high name. It's a lifted up name. It's a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Here in the book of Psalm 135, and there in verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean to praise the name of the Lord? Does that mean we're supposed to say, Lord, 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 Jesus, Jesus? No. It means we are to praise who this name it represents. Lord, Master, Sovereign, King. Praise Him. We are to praise Him. Not just some name, but who He represents. We have all been given a name by our parents or somebody, and that only represents us. The name of the Lord represents Him in all of His glory, in all of His counsel, in all of His attributes, in all of His characteristics. Exalt the name of the Lord Jesus. And then verse 3 of that same psalm, Psalm 135 and verse 3, it says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. This is a great thing we are privileged to do, is to praise the name of the Lord. Instead of praising and exalting ourselves like we did there at the Tower of Babel, let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be, well, I remember when I was in religion, you know what I wanted to be was a Renaissance man. Having all kinds of things accomplished. You know, when I was saved, that all passed away because I just want to be a servant of the King. Now, if He allows me to do this, that's great. But I want to be a servant of the King Most High. Verse 13 of that same psalm, Psalm 135, verse 13, says, Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. This is one name. You know, most of the names of people that we are acquainted with or were acquainted with, when I go home, I have to go to the cemetery to see the names of the people I grew up with. That's all that's left, is a name on a piece of stone. But this name is an eternal name. This name is an exalted and eternal being. This is the eternal Son of God. This is God eternal in His glory. So as it tells us there in verse 13, Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. It is forever name. It was His name before the world was created. It's His name now. It will be after eternity starts in the future. And it's hard for me to describe eternity. But it will be His name throughout eternity. Doesn't change. And we won't go to a headstone. Well, this was Him. This was Him. No, He's in heaven. Sit down at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and He will be in heaven for eternity. We don't have to go to a tomb. You know, those angels were so correct. Why seek ye the living among the dead? For He is risen. What? His name endureth forever. It's always present tense. All right, Psalm 142. Psalm 142 and verse 7. It says, Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. Now, what kind of prison is he talking about? Prison of sin. We're prisoners of sin by nature. He brings us out. That hymn that... I wish I could think of the name of it. And the person who wrote it, but... In prison, when the light shone and the doors opened. It's taken from that experience that Peter went through when the Lord opened the doors for him and let him out. How that describes our salvation. He brings us out of prison into the light of His glory. Well, as it tells us there in Psalm 142 and verse 7, it says, Bring my soul out of prison, and I will praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Every spiritual blessing granted to us, He is the plant of renown. He is the plant of honor. He is the plant. He is the branch. And He was glorified in eternity past. He's glorified today, and He'll be glorified forever by the church. And then Psalm 143 and verse 11. Psalm 143 and verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake. You know why people are saved? For God's name's sake. It's not what we've done that He saves us. It's not how we prayed. It's not how we cried. He saves His people for His own glory. For His own glory He saves people. That's the heart and center of how our preaching should be. For His glory. He would be honored. So, this is all brought out, and it's so many times in the Psalms is this word name brought out and gives us some characteristics and attributes of the Lord and glory for it. But just turn with me to the Song of Solomon for just a moment. The Song of Solomon. In the Song of Solomon, he gives us another beautiful picture in this word name or renown. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Now we may have favorites, but this is the Song of Songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is a ointment poured forth. Now, if I had some perfume and I poured it out here on the floor, what's going to happen to it? Eventually, it's going to be all through the room. His name is an ointment poured forth. Wherever He saves His people, they're going to have a response to the greatness of God. It's going to smell so sweet. His salvation is so sweet. His name is so sweet. He never does anything wrong. He's always in the right. He is righteous altogether. And His name is like a sweet ointment poured out. I was brought to think about that lady who poured that alabaster box of ointment on His feet and in His hair, another one. How that smelled. How it fit. This is the odor filled the room. And over there in the tabernacle, in the holy place, when they burnt that incense, filled the room with that sweet savor, that sweet smell. And that incense speaks of the prayers of the saints, which are sweet unto God when His people pray before Him. But to us, that sweet savor of Christ, the smell of His good salvation, the smell of His good grace, the smell of His goodness to us, the smell that He would unlock us out of the prison of sin. How sweet that is. And you know, just think of that. Just a few days before He was crucified, a lady came in and poured ointment on His head. I cannot help but think that when those Roman soldiers pounded the nails in His hands and feet, the scent of that was still on Him. Salvation is a sweet odor. Sweetness. Now, they didn't understand it. I wonder where that's coming from. This is a bad place up here. It's got putrid smells. But that sweet odor, we're talking about Savior here. We're talking about the salvation that He is going to give to all of His people. What a sweet odor. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 4, this same word is used. And in that verse of Scripture, we find that there are seven women. Seven women. It says here, in that day. That's today. That was yesterday too. And it's going to be tomorrow. That people are going to say what these women said. This is not eschatological. This is happening. People want what they can't have without Christ. They want His bread. No, they don't, do they? The day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel." Is that what those said at the great Tower of Babel? We are in need of nothing. We don't need anything. Let's make it a name for ourselves. We'll wear our own apparel. We don't need righteousness. Only let us be called by Thy exalted, holy, precious name to take away our reproach. Now, people are not saved this way. It was better than amusing, but Brother Bill brought up tonight. He says a lot of people are thinking how much they don't have to believe the Bible and still be saved. Isn't that a contradiction? That's the way a lot of people believe, though. How much do I not have to believe? How much of God's sovereignty do I not have to believe? How much of God's election do I not have to believe? How much of this do I not have to believe and still be saved? Well, that's not how it works. God saves us and reveals to us the person Christ Jesus, and we will be glad because it's given to us to believe on Him who is sovereign, glorious, high and lifted up, and we're not asking for our righteousness because we know what it is. We need His righteousness. We know our bread is moldy bread. Nothing worse than to open up a loaf of good bread that's gone moldy. What do you do with it? You throw it away. You don't keep it around. Well, that's just what these ladies said. We have our own moldy bread. This is religion. This is religion. And Christ is not involved in religion. He's involved in Christ. There is such a superiority and an eminency in the person and work of our Lord and Savior, and as the Word declares. Turn with me back, if you would, to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111 and verse 9. Psalm 111 and verse 9. The Holy God, the high and lifted up, the sovereign King. Psalm 111, and there in verse 9 it says, "He sent redemption unto His people."
Amen.
"He hath commanded His covenant forever."
Amen.
"Holy and reverend is His name." You know, natural men vie for the names of God and apply them to themselves. But God's people say, "Holy and reverend is His name. He is the righteous one. He has salvation." We bow. We bow before Him. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. Now just look at this exaltedness of the Lord as it's brought out in the Scriptures from cover to cover. Can you get around this verse? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can you grasp that? Can you get your arms around that? That's a mighty God. One planet suspended out in space with several planets around it, dead or in a mackerel, and one planet with clouds and water and land and people. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All of it's His creation. And then we read this. Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised us back up to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Notice who the power is for? To usward. His power is all for the church. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above. Now this is that plan of renown. This is Him. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. We may think people have power. It's only granted by God. But He's far above all that seeming power. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and every name that is named, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. At that name, at that plan of renown, such honor is given. There's only one, after He finished His work, could sit down. And this one is sit down at the right hand of the Father. He was raised because He completely and totally purchased and paid for all the sins and purchased His people from their condition in the fall. And then in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, in verse 15, it says, the church, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know what that name is in the Old Testament? Lord our righteousness. Church just says, Lord our righteousness. It's all the righteousness we have. What name does the church go by? Lord our righteousness. Now we go by Sovereign Grace Baptist Church because that's the best way we can explain what we hold to in short order. But we truly are founded in the name the Lord our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And it's our only righteousness. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. God hath also highly exalted Him. Now notice this. And given Him a name which is above every name. Every king, every prince, everyone that's ever ruled, every principality and power. We're just going to say this right now. The devil and God are not equal. A lot of religions treat them equal. God's voting for you. Devil's voting against you. Now it's up to you to make your choice. Put them on equality. That is blasphemy. Devil is a created being. He's God's devil. Now notice this. He's given Him a name which is above every name. His Son. That at the name of Jesus, Savior, Sovereign, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now thank God, in our day, when He brings us the gospel, He causes us to bow before Him. You know, it's a pleasure for us to bow before the King, the Magistrate. the magistrate. Bow before him. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's one thing everybody that ever is saved will confess. He's Lord. To the glory of God the Father, every knee shall bow. Now, at that day, we read about Matthew 25, at that day, those on the left-hand side will bow. They will bow. We find he had power to deal with a whole crowd of people that came with swords and staves to arrest him. Next thing they know, they're on the ground. All he had to say is, I am. Now, in our translation, he has been put in there, but I am. And they're on the ground. So it's going to be an easy thing for them to bow. But thanks be unto God that all of his lost sheep will be found in time. At the appointed time, at the right time, they'll hear the gospel and they will bow willingly. They will confess him willingly because he's the plant of renown. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One more time to the book of Zechariah and we'll close. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And notice this branch. Verse 12. Notice what he's accomplishing. Notice what he's accomplished. Notice what he has been purposed to do before the world began. It tells us here in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. Now notice what he does. He shall grow up out of his place. Now, he doesn't fill anybody else's place. He has his own place. He's not born like we're born. He's not brought into the world like we're brought into the world. He has no sin of his own. He has his own place. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. You know, that is a fact that he will save his people from their sins. That is a fact. He will build the temple of the Lord. It's not might build it if he gets somebody to consent to it. He will. He shall build the temple of the Lord. He's going to do that. Verse 13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. Nobody else is going to build it. We don't build it. We're just lively stones in the building. He's the one that's building it. And he shall bear the glory. Nobody in it is going to bear the glory. He shall bear the glory. What does the church do? Lord, you get the glory. When we preach the gospel, you get the glory. When you save us by your grace, you get the glory. And then it says, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. This is the only priest that ever gets to sit down. Because his work is finished. And he's sitting on a throne. This is a king priest. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. He is a king priest. He has superiority over everything else. And he's the high priest over every other priest that has ever been. He is a different kind of priest. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then it says, and the council of peace shall be between both of them. This is the only place where peace is. In this one. He is the king priest. And together, in both of those ministries he performs, he brings peace. The priest offers the sacrifice. The king is the ruler over all things. He brings peace to his people. Peace be unto Jerusalem. Not a place, but a church. So he is that righteous branch. And he is doing what he said he would do. And Zechariah was used by the Lord to foretell this one that's coming. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. Now look, next week we'll look at some more of Zechariah's Someone's Coming.